May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building. The calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Our gospel reading for today is from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 7 through 16. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" And in reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." And soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, they all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah. And John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Will you pray with me? Holy God, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. This morning, our worship is so rich because of this beautiful music, and especially this piece you've just heard, A Fantasia on Christmas Carols. It got me digging into the history and story of Christmas carols, and this is beyond my area of particular expertise, so I accept any fact-checking corrections. I am an expert because I looked on Wikipedia.
which traces the Christmas carol origin all the way back to the very early years of the church and perhaps the 4th century, when songs at Christmas and songs that told the story of incarnation became a way of articulating the basic beliefs of the church, pushing back against false beliefs, articulating what the orthodoxy is and what was heresy. So Christmas carols, like the ones you just heard, have in them the whole of the story. The tradition, of course, shifted and changed over time. Christmas carols became popularized in Europe in about the 13th century. Folks like St. Francis and others made it popular to write songs in the vernacular, in the language of the people, that told the story of our faith, the stories of our faith, not only big theological ideas, but the specifics of our Christmas story. And the tradition of caroling became a practice that continues today, at least in the movies, as bands of people go from house to house singing songs of the season. I grew up Christmas caroling at the nursing home. Our youth group would get together and go visit a couple of nursing homes in town and then come back to the church for cocoa and as many cookies as we could eat. I don't know if you grew up singing Christmas carols, not just in church, but out in the world. They are a way of telling the story of our faith. And the story that we have to share this Christmas and every day is an incredible story of the God of all creation becoming human, offering us liberation and salvation and grace and also joy. It's a story of a God who becomes present among us in our lives as they are. Now, as we were planning for this worship service, we decided to have just one scripture reading, and I was going to read the Hebrew prophets, which Pastor Diana spoke about in the children's time. The Hebrew scriptures and what we call the Old Testament foretell of a Savior to come. They help set us in the direction of the salvation that we expect. They center us on justice and grace and care. But as it got closer to this Sunday, I thought I just can't do an Advent without John the Baptist calling us a brood of vipers at least once. Always here in this season of joy and light, we have this character in our story who is preparing the way for Jesus. John out in the wilderness, dressed in wild clothes, calling people a brood of vipers and inviting them to repentance. As I was thinking about the message that John the Baptist preaches as he prepares people to receive Jesus, as he would later start his adult ministry, John's shaking them up, calling them names, inviting them to change their lives. But then I looked at the specifics of John's request to the people who come to hear him. What then shall we do? The people ask. And John says, if you've got 2 coats, give one to someone who has none. And if you're a tax collector, don't take more than you should. And if you're a soldier, don't extort people with false stories. Strikes me that these are, I'm just going to call it, a lower bar than the expectations Jesus will later put on us. I mean, Jesus says we have to love our enemies. Jesus tells someone to sell all of his possessions and give them to the poor. But here we have John, who both starts a little more extreme, you brood of vipers, right? But then asks us to be decent people, right? Like, don't cheat other people. Don't make up stories that allow you to extort from. I mean, I'm not going to say we don't struggle with bad decisions from time to time. But John's invitation is to be decent people, good people who share when we have more than we need, who don't cheat others or lie in order for personal gain. It's an invitation to lives that display, that manifest our values in everyday dealings. It's an invitation to a faith that gives us a way of being together that respects everyone. There's a certain relief in John's expectations on us, Ben. He's asking us to be genuine, truth-telling, decent, generous people in our everyday lives and dealings, to take what we do for our livelihood or in our retirement and do it well, decently, with care and concern for others. Sometimes when I look at the whole of our Christian faith, I'm overwhelmed by the generosity of our God and then the question of what it would take to truly echo back the depth of that love. Because I don't know how or if I'm supposed to genuinely sell everything I have and give away what I've got, how to genuinely become one of the saints who shows us with their lives this full and vivid description of what we're called to be. So this Sunday, on this Sunday of joy, I'm taking a certain courage and encouragement in this invitation to be people who let the values of our faith change our everyday dealings. We can't alone or immediately change the systems that are broken. And being human these days, we are dealing with challenges and problems that are beyond any one of our ability to solve. We face realities of economic inequality, of climate disaster, of war that continues, that seems to have no hopeful end. In the midst of all of that, it's easy to let the powerlessness of any individual life become an excuse to do nothing. So today I invite you to claim the invitation of John the Baptist after he calls you a brood of vipers. Hear the invitation to live lives where in our daily living we make choices that respect others and that take up the power and authority that we have to do a good thing. There's an invitation in this story to do the good that's yours to do, and to trust that somehow our God, who became human, who took on flesh in the form of a tiny baby, we're invited to trust that our God, that God, can take our small, generous, faithful acts and somehow weave them together into a fabric of life that is a part of God's salvation. We don't do it alone. We do it all together, each of us doing the good that is ours to do for the sake of something so much bigger, so much grander, full of grace. It's beautiful that the choir is helping us tell this story today. Choirs give us a visual and audible demonstration of what's possible when we all contribute our voices together. A whole fabric of sound becomes a vivid declaration of what's possible together when each of us sings our part this day and every day. May you be people who do the good that is yours to do. May it be so. Amen.